Welcome back, boys and girls. It's episode 112 of your Hump Day podcast, 8-Bit Bourbon. I should probably look that up first, but I think I nailed it.
I think you get it.
Yeah, it's Monday night, which is, you know, not as ideal as recording on a weekend, but it's better than recording on a Tuesday, which I don't think I could ever do again. And I have fucking been running my ass off. I have not sat down this whole day till just this second, outside of shoveling food in my mouth. So
that sucks. Mondays are always so fucking boring for me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, work actually was pretty crazy today. But not like in a bad way. But it was more. I helped my brother. So first, my brother texted me. He needed help with his setting up his TV on a stand. How hard could that be? Whatever, no problem. So I go over there. It's not. He's moving like next door, kind of. But he bought this TV and didn't get it delivered next door, which was a huge mistake because it's like a 65-inch television and it's got to weigh 100 pounds. It's so fucking heavy.
And, oh, really? TVs are that heavy?
I know. It's not even a plasma. I might be slightly exaggerating that, but it was heavy.
But yeah, usually you don't hear people talk like big screen TVs are heavy
anymore. Yeah, dude, that thing is like, heavy as shit.
Like my 55-inch has got some weight to it, but I wouldn't consider it like heavy.
Yeah, no, this thing was carrying it down and up. Elevator next door through the streets. It was fucking hard. We were both gassed by the time we got there. So we put it down. I open it up. It was a floor model that he got. So it's like a crazy expensive TV that he got for $2,000. So whatever. I respect that. But I told him to stop going to Best Buy. He bought a TV in Best Buy in New York. He got burned. He bought TVs for his bar at Best Buy. He's bought a different TV at Best Buy. Got burned. All in different ways. But like, it always sucks because Best Buy fucking sucks. And they rip you off. And it's a horrible place. And if you work at Best Buy, I'm sorry. But you know it's the truth.
He's sorry. He's not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. And so I take this thing out. It takes forever. Got to cut it open. It's wrapped like a fucking sardine. We get the thing open. It's like the legs look wrong. And I'm like, this does not look right. So we're going to the instruction mail. Worst instructions I've ever seen for a consumer expensive thing. It's like, you couldn't even see the pictures. They were so tiny.
Do you want to mention what brand it was or no?
Yeah, Sony XBR 960. Sony? Yeah. No, wait. 950B, I think. I don't know. Something like that. And the feet. So I'm like, damn, this just doesn't line up. The pieces don't look right. But I guarantee what it was the wrong stand. Spoiler alert. But I'm like, I think what it was, they probably had a 55 inch and a 65 inch model. They gave the 55 inch model buyer the 65 inch parts and Dan the 55 inch parts because they like that. It was just close enough where like the images were so shitty that we couldn't really tell, but like it didn't line up with the two screws. But they're like, maybe you're only supposed to use one screw and maybe the other ones are for like a wall brick. I don't know. So eventually I was just like, damn, this is not right. It's not right. You got to take it back. So it was just a waste of an hour of my time to try to help him do this. I mean, I guess we moved the TV, so I helped him with that. But so he went back to Best Buy and flipped his absolute shit. I don't think he's allowed in the store anymore.
Oh, really? Did he go to the one in Willard?
Probably. Yeah. It's probably the closest one. And he, whatever.
Were you with him when he lost his shit?
No, okay. No, I had to get out of there. But yeah, so that did that, came home, got dinner, shoveled it. So the other thing is, I don't even think I've told you this yet. I just rented an apartment this week.
Oh, no shit. Congrats.
I don't move in until February 15th, but like I'm not trying to like buy shit now. You know, I need everything pretty much because I didn't keep anything from New York that was useful for an apartment. So I went to TJ Maxx, which was a lovely visit. I spent $375 and I got two couch side tables, whatever you want to call them, a big wooden circular, could be bedside, could be another living room couch side table, a long like 5-6 foot bench for the bedroom just to like sit on changing and stuff, like a low cool like wooden seat thing that you could maybe put in the bathroom with like towels and stuff, or maybe even like right next to the door to sit on when you come in. Is that it? Am I missing something? Anyway, all that was $376, and like the bench itself, most places would be $300, $400.
I haven't been there, but I hear that TJ Maxx is pretty money for
and
like home goods or whatever. Those places are good,
and they had great, chairs too, like real chairs, like felt or not felt, like cloth chairs, not like kitchen table. They also have those, but I mean like if you get like a cloth chair, that shit's expensive, man. They could be like $600. They were like, you know, 200, and they were like really nice. So I did that. So like, because my mom was telling me, she went over to like, you know, grab me like a few kitchen things. She's helping out. And I was like, you know, she's like, hey, you want to head over to TJ Maxx quick? I saw some stuff. So I went over there and walked out with that. And I was literally in there for less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's my kind of shopping.
Yeah, I'm decisive, man. I see something I like, I'm good. The things that I wasn't sure about, I just didn't get them, you know? But the thing with TJ Maxx, it's hard because you don't want to leave stuff there, because it's not like going to Macy's where like they'll have more. Like they have a couple things, and when they sell out, they replace it with other shit, which is why it's so cheap, you know, because it's brand name stuff. So then came home, and now we're doing the podcasts, and I cannot believe how late.
I know, right? Like, I was wondering where you were. I figured you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't leave Saratoga till at least like 6:15. Got home at 7, 8. Went to TJ Maxx. Some wasted time in there doing other shit. But
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that was my day today. I feel like I've done enough for the whole week.
Well, congrats on that apartment.
Thanks.
Saratoga. Yeah. Nice. Dan's old place?
Yeah, right. Funny part is, Dan's, well, I don't want to give the addresses. I almost did that on accident.
Yeah.
But Dan's new address is one off of my address. We're literally across the street from each other.
Oh, that's fucking sweet. Did you know
that?
No,
I knew that my new one was close to his old one. But I didn't know where his new one was. Like, because he just moved, like, I knew he got a new apartment, but I knew it was, like, somewhere in downtown Saratoga, but I didn't know where. It's, like, so I would have already been across from him, kind of kitty corner, but now it's literally, he moved one right, which is literally across the street.
Oh, so, like, you're nice in downtown. That's pretty sweet.
But it's funny because, like, through sheer coincidence, I now work across the street from his bar and live across the street from him. Which might not be the best thing ever, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, how do you feel about, like, the working across the street probably isn't the worst thing, but how do you feel about living across the street from him?
No, it's fine. Now that he has a family, it should be all good.
Yeah, but that might also be a reason for him to sneak over.
Yeah, but I've already laid the ground rules, and the nice part is he actually has all of his stuff going on weekends with his family, so, like, weekdays he would never have any reason to come over, and I would never have company. If you want to come over on a Sunday, that's fine, you know. Yeah. But like on a Wednesday night, I want no one at my place.
No, that's exciting. Be excited to check it out.
Yeah, it's cool. That's been
Can't
my
wait
week.
To help you move. Oh, actually, it doesn't sound like you have a whole lot to move, so moving won't be that hard.
No, I mean, I'm gonna have a lot of shit to move, but because I'm getting everything shipped to Johnstown, but it's not gonna be. Like,
do you have stuff in storage somewhere?
No. I have stuff like my parents' attic, but not that much. Like, I pretty much need new everything, like, which I've bought a decent amount of that already. But it just sucks because the thing is, like, as long as I don't have, like, I'll get the couch, any couch size thing delivered there. And outside of that, like, I don't mind moving boxes myself. You know, like, I only ask people to help move if, like, I need something moved, where, you know, if you have to move, like, a washer or a 8-foot couch, you cannot do that by yourself. But, like, picking up boxes, it's no big deal.
Helping you move gives us an excuse to go drink in Saratoga. So,
yeah. The nice part I moved it back to Feb 15th, though. So, I'll just do it slowly. Like, I'll take a few things a day in my car, and I'll take, you know, I'll, like, this weekend I'll move in, like, just some clothes and shit, and it's not going to be like an all day thing. That's what I'm trying to avoid. So, and then I'll just have one day where I just sit there and try to line up all the deliveries.
Well, thank God Jay moved back to Johnstown. I have no friends.
You and Jay are never hanging out, please.
Absolutely not, but at least I know he's still in my area.
No, there's no one that is less likely to hang out than you and Jay.
Did Chad move? Is Chad still in Saratoga?
Yeah, I think he's going to move someplace else, but I'm not sure where he is on that.
It's crazy how all that stuff works out. You know, you move to Saratoga, Chad moves away. Jay moves to Johnstown, you move to Saratoga.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, Chad life. Would probably be in like Clifton Park or something. So, but
life. So, tell me about The Witness. Have you edited any time in your crazy?
Oh, before I get into that, I watched a movie, which I never do.
Whoa, two movies in 2 weeks. Holy shit.
I
know.
The only reason I watched it was because I was literally sitting on my couch. What was I doing? I was doing something on my laptop or my phone, and this movie came on. And it was a movie that actually intrigued me when I first saw the trailer, and then I got shitty reviews. And I was like, no chance. I don't ever watch movies. I'm not going to watch a movie that got shitty reviews. It was, I don't even remember what
Beethoven's
it's called.
Is it
Now You See Me? It's that magic movie with like their magicians that are like robbers.
Oh, okay,
robbers.
Yeah. Is that with Jesse Eisenberg?
Jesse Eisenberg and Matthew McConaughey, or not Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson.
Did that get shitty reviews, or was it just like not watched?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was excited about that movie for like one trailer, and then I saw it got shitty reviews, and I was like, fuck that movie. It was fair, but I was like sitting there doing something else, and I was 30 minutes in, and I was like, well, I'm not going to change the channel now.
I'm hooked, hook, line, and sinker.
I literally don't even usually leave the TV on while I'm doing stuff, so it was really, really rare, but it was, I would say that if it comes on, watch it. It's a good lazy Sunday movie. Yeah. It's not going to change your life. It was fine. That's my review.
Oh, let me ask you this. With the apartment, what's your plans for, like, you're going to go TV? What are you going to do? Are you going to go internet or like,
oh, I already bought a TV.
No, I mean like services.
Okay. Oh, I'm just gonna get internet. Yeah, okay. There's gonna be a point where Time Warner encrypts their basic cable package, and at that point, I'll have to make a decision.
You can still use your parents' watch ESPN for your watch ESPN shit.
Yeah, ESPN's not even the thing. Is for me, like, there's some ESPN stuff that happens, obviously. Like Monday Night Football is really the main one. There's a few other things. I like to watch some basketball and stuff.
Days of the Masters is nice.
Yeah, any sort of golf stuff. But the thing that I really need, though, is the base, you know, I always call them basic cable. It's not what they are. The non-cable channels, you know, CBS, NBC, and Time Warner is going to encrypt those at some point. So I'll have to make a decision at that point. The thing is, like, with the place that I work, we preach over-the-top programming, so I feel like a hypocrite if I don't cut cable, because that's what we tell people to do, and that's not what we tell people to do, but that's where we think the market's going.
I got Hulu Plus. You're more than welcome to share.
Yeah, I mean, you know me though. Like, the thing is,
exactly.
I don't watch TV.
Yeah, I don't really
like,
watch anything.
I'll watch HBO stuff sometimes. I'll watch a little bit of Showtime stuff. I'll watch Netflix a little bit. Outside of that, I just need the sports is everything. So if I can get the basic channels, I already have this plan. There's a guy at work, Matt, too. We've been talking about this. He has a thing where you can like do proxies to really easily to get like blackout stuff good. If I have to get the ticket, I have to get the ticket. But I will probably cut cable until they encrypt the channels. At that point, I don't know. I might just get a digital. You can still get an antenna, I think.
Yeah, you can.
So I might just be able to do that.
And I believe you can get a digital. There's like an adapter that Microsoft sells that you can put that digital or that HD tuner right to your Xbox.
Yeah, but I think that if once they encrypt the channels, it's not going to work. I think that's just a way to get your Xbox to overlay your TV when you don't have a cable box with HDMI. You know, so I will. I'm not really like I just don't like. It's not even that like I want to cut cable because of like. I just don't get $100 a month of use out of television.
Definitely
not even close. So
I barely get $12 a month of Hulu Plus.
Yeah, I don't need that. Like I don't know. It's going to be hard though because like there's going to be a couple times where I really want to watch something and I don't have it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is I'm in Saratoga. Like if there's a sporting event I really want to watch, I can just go to Dan's bar or any bar. We'll see how it goes. The beauty is. If there's something and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I need cable, I will walk to Time Warner, which is in Saratoga, and say, give me a cable box, and I'll just suck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I think Chad has the same internet that I have, and he pays right around what I pay, because he has the bundle. He has, like a phone that's not even hooked up.
Yep. And, no, that's the thing is like I'll definitely run those numbers. Like I'm not gonna.
Oh yeah, you're good. I'm not gonna
cut off my nose to spite myself. Like if it's $10 more a month to get full cable, I'll just get cable. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be stupid not to. But if it's anything more than $20 more a month, then I'm not gonna do it.
You should get Dan to give you his Kuros since.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like last time I was at his place, I didn't see it.
Yeah, he used to have it in the hallway.
Is it still,
and he just bought a brand new TV. You know what he might be doing?
Left it at the
his
wig,
new apartment. No, his new apartment has like it's like another like two floor apartment similar to his current one. So he might have the new one might be for the living room upstairs, and then like the downstairs there's kind of like a family room slash like playroom for the kids. He might put it in there.
Just steal it. See if he knows. Just replace it with something. Just like
yeah.
Just write Kuros on some TV.
That TV's sick, but I think the one I just got is better.
You bought a new TV?
Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet. Shit. But so I ended up with, I guess we might as well go to electronic stuff. I wasn't going to until I like really made a better plan of my apartment, but there was a deal on IGN where it was like deals of the day, which I never look at because usually they aren't that great, but it was like Super Bowl TV deals. And they didn't even talk up the best one, which tells me that the guy who wrote the article knew nothing about the televisions he was talking about. I mean, they weren't his deals, but they had a... So OLED is the future of televisions. It's like, I love plasma, but they don't make plasma anymore, pretty much.
I read articles that was talking about there's a new form of LCD that could come back.
Yeah. So, but OLED is amazing. It's like, so there was a plasma TV that was the first TV to be rated better than the Kuro that Dan had. That was like 3 years ago. And the OLED TVs are pretty much like everybody
says. To name drop another
the
person.
Most important thing.
People listening to this podcast don't know. Did Nick buy that one that was supposed to be better than Kuro's? Is that what you were telling me?
Yeah, I picked that out for him. That is actually, was that an LCD?
No, I thought it was a plasma. I thought you said,
it was a plasma. I think it was a plasma. Yeah, that was a Samsung,
I thought it was like Panasonic or something. I don't remember.
But anyway, yeah, that TV's sick. But so I got an OLED. The funny part about it is it was like on sale. It was originally $3,000 when it came out. Then it went to $2,000 because they have the company that makes it, which is LG, like, they're like the leaders in cheap OLEDs. Cause like most OLEDs are like ridiculous, like 7,000 more. But they make like affordable ones, and they had a day deal on this site that I saw. It was like $1,300 before tax. So I was like fucking done. Like it's, you know, could I have gotten a TV with that was bigger, but it's 55 inches, which is plenty for my living room.
Jesus Christ. I figured you were going to say like 47 for that price.
Like 55 is like perfect size for my living room. Because like at some point, like, yeah, it's never a bad thing to have like a 65-inch TV, but you also lose a lot of fidelity. There's very few 65-inch TVs that are like great picture quality. Yeah. The only downside is, and it's not really downside, I would have never picked one of these out, but for whatever reason, they only make it in curved. But I was like, fuck it. It's cool looking. I think it's kind of stupid, but whatever.
But those curved ones, they're not like half circles.
No.
Some of them,
it's slightly curved.
Yeah, they're slightly curved.
I think that it's kind of dumb, but it is very cool looking when you see
it's
it.
Sharp looking. Yeah, it is. It's but, nice. It's going to look cool in your apartment.
Yeah, for video games, I would rather have a flat screen, but you know, ultimately, if they had two choices, I would have got flat, but it matters 1 out of 10 for me that it's curved, so I don't really give a shit. So I got that. That was just too good of a deal to pass up. I mean, that's crazy cheap. I thought I was going to have to spend $2,000 to get a non-OLED TV, to be honest. And 55 inches is big. Is your TV 55?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think my parents is 50 when I bought that for them a while ago.
Your parents seems bigger than mine.
It does,
but
right?
But it's not.
Not bigger than yours, but it seems like almost as big.
I think it's mine because mine has a stupid fucking bezel. I should have waited a year before I bought mine. I got mine right before like LED got big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the beauty of televisions is that you could, anytime you get a new TV, you take your old TV and it's not like you throw it out. You just put it in a different room. So like at some point, if I say like, 55 isn't big enough. I got a new apartment. I wish I had a 65. You just take the OLED and you put it in your room. So like, that's what I like about televisions. It's never like, I still have that 32 inch Sony. I'll bring that and do something with it.
I was considering getting a new TV soon. I figured like mine's at least like 6 years old, maybe. I figured technology has really like changed, and you know, it's probably at a point where I would notice a difference by looking at somebody else's TV playing a game. But I still really like my TV. Like I think I can go.
If I were you, I wouldn't get a new TV for at least.
Yeah, I think I could make
the next TV that I would get if I was you would be a 4K TV when it actually matters. And I didn't get a 4K TV because I don't give a shit about 4K because I think it's years away from being important.
I bought my TV as a young, stupid kid that wanted a big screen TV, but I think I'm going to get 10 years out of this thing. Unless something happens to it, you know? But
well, I mean, the thing is with TVs, they actually last. Look at the Kuro. It's lasting forever. It's still one of the best TVs on the market. It's not the best anymore, but it was the best for at least 5, if not more, maybe almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. But The only time you get screwed on a television purchase is if you buy it at, like, a bad time. You never know what it's going to be. For example, if you bought a TV that didn't have HDMI, and then HDMI came out a year later, you got fucked. Yeah. Well, it's still usable. Component's fine, but you know what I'm saying.
I misspoke. Like, I think the LED model of mine just came out, so mine got reduced in price. That's why I bought mine. Because I always take
the reduced price, though. Like, for example, like, I'm sure that the OLED, the 55-inch, had that deal, because they're probably coming out with another one soon, but I don't care. I don't need the 4K model. Yeah. Because if you're not going to use 4K content, which
you gotta prepare for the NX, man.
Yeah, right. But the thing is, like, 4K, like, the native, nothing looks better than the native resolution. So if your native resolution is 1080p, yeah, it's going to look better with 1080p stuff. Like, 4K does nothing for 1080p content. In fact, it looks worse. And name me one thing that you're doing that has 4K. I think there's like two shows on Netflix maybe that have 4K video. That's about it.
I want 4K to be more popular because I want to see if Sony and Microsoft can actually deliver on the promise that the PS4 and the Xbox One can be 4K compatible. They say they can. It's like flicking a switch or whatever.
Do you mean for videos or video games?
Because video games,
they can't even power a 1080p. There's no way they can get to 4K.
I'm pretty sure they both said that they can do it.
Yeah, it's compatible, I'm sure. And I mean, yeah, you could run Super Mario Brothers at 4K, but like, if they're going to make a new AAA game, they can't power a 3D game at 4K. Not even close. It's hard for like a top-tier computer to power 4K. So that's what I'm saying. It's like the next level of consoles might have 4K, but that's like 4 years away, 5 years away. The shit that we see now
looks pretty fucking good. Like,
yeah, I mean, have you 4K, ever seen it? No, I've never seen it. Yeah. Have you ever seen the 5K Mac, no, iMac? It's fucking incredible. I mean, it looks like a window.
That's
the best
crazy
way I can explain it. It's crazy. That being said, I would rather have a 5K or 4K monitor than I would a 4K 5K TV, because you sit so far away from a television. Most people say that the average living room, you can't tell the difference between 1080p and 4K because you're too far away. Like, with a 5K monitor, you can put your eyeball to it and you cannot see a pixel. That's crazy. It's fucking ridiculous. And that is really impressive, but you know what I'm saying is, like, when you're so far away from the TV, it doesn't matter as much. So I'm not saying if you are buying a TV, you shouldn't get 4K. I just wouldn't make it a priority. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, you should wait, cause your TV's fine. Like, your TV's still nice.
Like, in three, four years. I seriously think I can get another, I think I can make like 10 years out of it.
Yeah. I think in 3-4 years you might be like, well, 4K is starting to come around. We're going to need Time Warner and DirecTV and all those places to either die, which is not going to happen, or
die in just horrible fires,
or just vastly upgrade their infrastructure so that their cable boxes can handle streaming. Cause like, if television was 4K, it would be sick.
I can't wait until
they compress 1080p. They're not even close to 4K.
They data cap us when they release 4K.
I know there will be a day in the next, for sure. I mean, some people are already doing it, but for sure in the next decade, everything will be data capped, which is going to blow.
I can't believe we haven't yet.
Comcast already does it. Yeah. Comcast is, as much as I hate Time Warner, Comcast is the fucking worst.
But aren't they merged?
Well, yeah. In 2 years, they're all going to be one company, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? When these mergers happen, a lot of times they still run as independent companies for the most part for a while. And Comcast is still the worst.
Fucking cocksuckers. Yeah.
So
we haven't talked technology on this podcast in a long time.
Yeah, I just haven't had money to buy anything in a long time. that's part of it. I wanted a new television for a while, but
I'm glad you can do
that. 32-inch television would have looked ridiculous in like in a regular living room.
Yeah.
When I bought it, that thing was the tits, though.
Where'd you buy it from?
It was an eBay seller, but it's like it's like one of the storefront eBay sellers where they sell thousands. Yeah. They're really just a store. They just use eBay as their front. I wonder how that works because on some level, like, eBay takes a cut of everything. Like, if you sell that many televisions and you have the volume to be that cheap, much more cheaper than the next person, can't you just build your own goddamn website and not give them a cut? I never understood that.
There's got to be something they're doing.
Yeah, you know what it is? Like, maybe eBay, like, the more volume, maybe they start taking less and less of a cut, and they just say, yeah, it's not
gotta,
worth it.
It's got to be something like the Amazon thing, because, like, I bought my TV from Amazon, but it wasn't from Amazon directly. Right. It was from another person.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Which was a nightmare, because I bought my TV, I was just expecting it to get delivered, like, any normal package, which was just stupid of me. And I don't check my voicemails, and I don't answer calls I don't know, so I kept on getting this call, like, every day for, like, 2 weeks.
You just thought it was spam.
Yeah, and they kept leaving me voicemails. I never checked it. One day I checked it, and it was the dude trying to deliver the TV for, like, 3 weeks.
That's great.
Yeah. They almost sent it back.
Yeah, weren't you wondering where your television was?
Yeah, I was. Did you just think it was going to take a lot longer? Like, I was like, where the hell is my TV? And then, yeah.
Yeah.
They never.
So, yeah.
So answer your phone. That's what
I'd say. Yeah, so I have a curved TV. I'm one of those guys now. I've actually never been to an apartment or a house where someone had a curved TV, I don't think.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, I think I've seen one, like, in a store. That's about it.
When I was just dicking around looking at TVs last week, a lot of them were curved models.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
it was hard to find one that wasn't curved.
They're super cool, turned off. And turned on, but, like, it adds no value. Like, it's just stupid. Like, but when it's cheaper than the flat model, fuck it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, more. I think normally they're more expensive than the flat model.
Oh, yeah.
Which is stupid. Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. You want to talk about the Division since I've been talking for a while?
Well, no, I was going to say, yeah, before I do that, I was going to say it's been nice you finally have the chance to, like, sit down, relax, and you can actually play some more video games.
Yeah, my video game playing, I mean, my video game playing is not going to go up significantly, but it'll definitely go up because I just hate playing video games right now. My whole setup sucks.
You're in a new apartment. It'll be sweet. You got your headphones. You got your nice TV.
I'll just end up laying on the couch and, I don't know, like, playing on my laptop.
So the Division, that Chinese download thing, whatever I did off the Xbox store, worked. Because I probably wouldn't have gotten a code otherwise. So I was on a waiting list.
Yeah, they opened it up. It was like a worldwide beta, though, right?
No, it was closed.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying, like, it was in other countries. Like, it was in every country. Yeah.
It wasn't like
a Chinese beta, I'm saying. It was,
I believe it was PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Yeah.
It was pretty big.
Yeah.
So I downloaded from, like I was talking last podcast, downloaded from, like, the Xbox Singapore store, which was cool that actually worked. But, what I have to say about this, or The Division, I think it's the best multiplayer game I've played in a long time.
That's strong.
It's really good. Like,
that's strong.
I could also say I don't think that other people, like, I think the majority of people will agree that it's really good. But this game really just hits, like, the notes I want it to hit. Like, I love, like strategy, like, tight group, like, four player or, like, multiplayer stuff. Like, you need to rely on the person to the right and left of you and behind you kind of stuff, and you, like, kind of get in, like, the zone.
Did you play with anybody?
Yeah, I played. I played with a group most the entire time I played it.
Yeah,
I played with Blaze, our English friend that we met from. Was it Mad Dog? Overdog?
Overdog. Yeah. Do they make it easy to find people, or do you have to kind of know people going in?
No, but you can. There's, like, it's pretty easy. Like, it shows people that are playing the Division. You can add them to your group and, like, or join their.
So you
group
can, like, try to find people and.
Yeah, and you guys just spawn on the map and then. Just find each other that way. But yeah, man, me and Blaze and his friend Ricky and then Troutman, we played for, like, I don't know, like 10 hours on Saturday. Jesus. And just had, like, it's so good. We just had the best time. I was trying to get so many people just to play. I was like, pre-order the game. I was telling people, because if you pre-order the game, you get guaranteed, like, the beta access. And I was like, telling the people that I knew that would like this just to buy it because it's so good.
Yeah,
and it's funny, like, I liked what I saw, like, 3 years ago whenever they showed this game off, but I didn't know what it was, and it just kind of went away. And then
when does it launch, do you know?
March 8th,
because I think they said they're going to do another beta.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah. Which I don't think I will play. I think I'll stay away.
Well, yeah, you probably have to restart, which would be stupid.
Yeah, I don't want to.
You don't want to play it for the third time. That would ruin the game. But yeah, that's cool. I mean, it looks cool. I still think that you love Destiny, but
yeah, that's why I think like this one means a lot to me, because it's still the loot based game. You know, you gotta do objectives to find better weapons. You gotta like grind it out.
It's third person, right?
Yes. Yeah. Cover based.
Yeah, yeah. It looks cool. I think it looks neat. I think it's cool that they if they really do launch it and it's good, which again we'll see, because I actually enjoy the Destiny beta, but when the full game came out, it was disappointing because there wasn't enough content, which is a common complaint about games like that. Mm-hmm. But if it is good, I'll be really impressed because they delayed the fucking game. And I love when people delay a game and it comes out good, because normally when people delay a game and the name's not Blizzard.
I think it's a great example of like a delayed game that can be great.
Yeah, because if it's really good, I love when people do that. Normally when a game's delayed, you're like, oh Jesus, here we go.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with, you know, bigger companies have the luxury, obviously, of delaying.
This is just my opinion, and like this really, like this is one of the type of games that I really love, like the grindy, loot based stuff. But this is one of the best multiplayer games I've played in a long time. I just love everything about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's basically Diablo meets Grand Theft Auto. Like, yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
yeah. I think if it is great when it comes out, I think one of the reasons that I guarantee this meeting happened with some executive and some developer. I don't know who was fighting which side of the battle, but they were basically saying, like, if this game is great, this will make us so much money, because it's the kind of game that has staying power. Like, yeah, you have that grind it out thing. You can have microtransactions that aren't super offensive that people will still buy. You have a tentpole, is, you know, what they call it in the movie industry, like that can make you money for years and years. And they're probably like, we don't want to fuck this up, because mm-hmm. if we do, we're going to have mediocre sales. We're never going to make any money. Whereas like you look at Destiny will probably make them $5 billion by the time it's all said and done, you know, over like the whole multi, you know, so like games like that, man, they just have, I mean, look at World of Warcraft. It's gotta be the biggest gaining game of all time by far.
I just think that, like, I think everything, like I was very skeptical of Ubisoft. I still am. Like, sometimes I just don't think they can deliver. I think they can build good games, but then sometimes, like the Assassin's Creed's are kind of dull, and you have like the problems that they have. I think
they definitely don't make bad games. I mean, I think people got on them a little too much for like releasing like two. Well, one broken Assassin's Creed, I think that got the most backlash, which was kind of fixed within inside a month. Mm-hmm. And I'm not defending that because it sucks, but like Battlefield 4 sucked for 6 months and no one, like, it didn't get nearly the backlash. I felt like people were like, fuck you, Ubisoft, when that game came out, because it like had like crazy glitches, but it seemed like it was fine like a month later.
But Ubisoft games than DICE games.
Yeah, or maybe the fan base for Battlefield care like is more fanboyish, where like they'll just fight through the pain.
But I don't know. Like, I just see like a strong future for like the Division right now. Like, if you think about it, it's going to be the third month of the year, and we're going to have like a game of this caliber. Like, it's like, I'm not kidding. Like, even if it's not the game for you, this is one of those games, if you play even just a single player, you can't like be like, oh, this is a bad game. It could be the game that's not for you, but the controls are tight, the guns feel awesome. I hate cover based stuff, because I think Gears of War, the cover based stuff in Gears of War is horrible. It's tanky, like you can't move like accurately. This one, it's everything is tight, it's fun, the guns are great, the way everything shoots and moves, the world is beautiful. Like, I want you, when I have it, because I pre-order it, when I do play it, I want you to see it, because I want you to see, like, it's almost a one-to-one scale of New York City. Like,
I'm never going to buy
it. Yeah, well, the first world they have is Manhattan, and then I think Brooklyn is coming later, but, I mean, it's like, they say it's, like, almost a one-to-one scale of New York City, which is crazy, and there's something about playing in that world, like, running 2 minutes doesn't bother me, because it feels like it's so alive. Like, they did a good job. It's like kind of like post-apocalyptic, but I don't really know what's going on. There's some kind of like virus, but they left the power on the city, so the city still kind of feels alive, even though there's not a lot of stuff on the streets. So at night, you're running down the street and you still see billboards and street are like apartment lights are on. You have the street lights are on, and then there's like a snowstorm and everything's blowing around. It's so pretty and so good. I can't wait. Like, I really can't wait. I'm a little nervous.
Seems like it's getting mostly positive things.
I've heard nothing about it. The only thing I can say bad about this game, if you don't have friends to play this game, you're never going to be able to play the multiplayer. You're so fucked. You'll never enjoy it.
I mean, that's the case with any massively multiplayer game.
Yeah, I just like
Destiny sucks single player. World of Warcraft is horrible single player.
If Destiny had this multiplayer, if a lot of games had this multiplayer, it's harder. Let me explain. Because so there's the regular thing, and then there's called an area called the Dark Zone. The Dark Zone has better gear, but it's like more dangerous. So what I mean by that is like you can kill like the NPCs or human players, but if you initiate like a combat with other humans. You get a rogue level, which instantly puts a bounty on you, so everybody in that world can see you, and they can chase you and kill you, and then they get a bonus. So you don't always want to do that. But also you can tell if people have loot on them. You carry this bag around, it's on your back. So you can see when other people have loot. So the way you get your loot out is you have to extract this. You have to call in a helicopter at these certain areas, and it alerts everybody in that world that there's a helicopter coming at this one area. So people kind of just flood to that area just to kind of poke their heads around, see who's what. So if there's a team of four and you're one, you're not going to engage them. You're kind of let them extract their stuff. But if you're one guy and four people come up on the same team, they're going to kill you, take your stuff, and then extract it. So it's going to be...
Well, I bet you there's tons of people that just want to sit there as one person and just wait for helicopters and try to kill everybody.
Why wouldn't you? You never know what somebody's at. Somebody can find like the best weapon in the game. If they're waiting for extraction and you can kill them, you're gonna do it. It's like we kept on comparing like the Wild West. Like there's one spot. It's like the safe house, and it's just like the hot spot for everybody. So there's constantly people fighting. There's constantly being loot being dropped, loot being raided. Bounties being taken. It's really intense. It's so fun.
Yeah. I hope they leave it as like a semi-hardcore thing, because what happens in every massively multiplayer game ever is it's super hardcore at first.
Yeah, and then they dumb it down for the masses.
Because people will start bitching about the fact that they got this gun and they lost it because they
got killed by people.
And it takes a lot of the magic away from a game. You
the
know,
stuff hope, you get in the regular world tough. Can't be stolen. Only the stuff that you pick up in the Dark Zone can be taken from you. So there is a little security there.
Yeah. But I just see people like starting to bitch about it and stuff, and it always seems to happen.
The way
World of Warcraft is still great, and I'd still play it, but it got significantly worse in my opinion when they started to like dumb it down, because it was always a somewhat dumbed down version of like EverQuest was insane. Like it was like the Dark Souls of massively multiplayer games. Like if you died, people could just steal all of your shit basically. Like if you didn't get back to it immediately. Whereas World of Warcraft was like half that hardcore, if that, and they dumbed it down to be like, you could be a druid and be a tank or a healer or a DPS player. You know, every class could do everything, and you can't lose stuff. And because like that's the kind of thing in a game that's why Dark Souls is fun and awful, because like it's so much more rewarding to have something where like I could lose everything and escape. You know.
Yeah. No, it's like. I just really like. I've never played anything like that. Was like multiplayer like that was this much PV. Like is it PvP when you can kill each other, or is it PV? Yeah. I've never played anything like this. PvP. Like I've played Ark, but nothing like that's this. Like it's like a whole. It's like playing a single player with humans in there being the bad guys. It's weird, you know, because there's still NPCs in that world, and you can still go do. Find the elites.
I can't believe you never got into World of Warcraft. You would have put, I mean, I put probably 30 days into that game, and that was the least of anyone that I knew that played.
I would have got into
That's
it
That's 30 days. That's ridiculous.
These are my type of games. I love the loot grind.
Yes.
I love
it's the best. You could spend, I actually used to have fun with the character that I played the most was a miner / I think it was like metal worker. Mm-hmm. So you could spend hours flying around on your mount, finding the really rare ore, mining it, and just smelting things together to make like really expensive bars of metal, selling them or making armor and selling that. And we were in areas where it was really like dangerous because they were, I always played on PvP servers and, you know, other people wanted that ore. So you could see someone dive bomb them in your mount while they're fucking mining ore, use all of my cooldowns, take the guy out, dance on his body, take off and leave. And like, and that's just like the shittiest part of the game is like grinding for like professions. Mm-hmm. And it was actually like super fun because the world was really cool riding, even when you didn't have flying mounts, even before that, just riding around. And there would just be these impromptu battles where like, this dude's been ganking me for 10 minutes. You know, like someone would say that in the general chat, because usually like assholes would go to like lower areas and like a crazy geared 60 would be killing like level 40 people. And so like people from the city would just fly in and just kill this guy for hours. Like, and like rogues would go invisible and stand on his body. And like, because the thing is, World of Warcraft, yeah, you could just log off and not get killed anymore or respawn in like a different place. But most of the people had too much pride or they just wouldn't log off. And it was like, then they would call in their reinforcements and like, you're doing nothing. It's not helping you really in much ways, but like just that shit was super fun. Like that's what's fun about those games. It's kind of like you make the game your own. And that's not even including the real stuff, which is like doing raids and you know, all the group quests and all that.
But yeah, man, the experiences that I've had this weekend were so good. Just like rolling as a group of four, running into another group of four, and everybody's, it's almost like a Mexican standoff. Hopefully that's not a racist thing, but everybody's just kind of like aiming their guns at it. Each other, kind of slowly backing away until like we're.
So is the first person who shoots like they're in more danger? Is that what you were saying?
Basically? No, you can shoot somebody like once, but if you continually shoot them, you get this thing called going rogue. So that means you get a bounty put on your head, and if somebody kills you, they get the bounty.
And, right. So it's kind of like the Grand Theft Auto system a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of. But if you die, that's the thing with the Dark Zone is if you die, not only do you lose the stuff that you have picked up. You also lose money and you lose XP.
Right.
So you lose everything. Like, nothing's safe. Except for the stuff that you brought in to that area. But it's crazy. Like, we were getting chased by these one guys. We were playing with this kid that we just met up with. And I think we had bounties on us. And he got ahead of us. And he ran up, like, I don't know, he's like maybe half a block ahead of me in Troutman. He got behind a car, started picking them off. Like shooting at them, trying to slow them down. When we caught up to him, like I stopped so he could run and reload. I would shoot at them, and we just slowly moved up the street like that, keeping them at their distance until we got away. And like, there's not multiplayer games that you can really do that, you know. There's multiplayer games that you can play together, but you like, there's no 10-minute gunfights. I've been in like 15-minute gunfights in this game.
There's no doubt in my mind that the most memorable experiences you'll ever have in a game are competitive but still cooperative multiplayer games where there's shit on the line. So like, as much as I love Halo, when a game's over, the game's over. Like in games like that, there's like a story to it that you can't recreate in other games.
Like,
you know,
it's
those water cooler moments.
Yeah, exactly. It's just been a series of moments that have just been so much fun.
Yeah. No, it sounds cool. I don't think I'll play it.
Really,
I just know I won't put the time in.
The only thing I worry about is, like, I think if you're going to play it, you need to get into it immediately. If you come into this 2 months, 3 months after it's been out, the Dark Zone might be a bad area that you can never really go into.
Well, hopefully they...
I think it'd be a problem for the game.
Hopefully they adjust that. Like, I mean
you could probably grind the single player just fine.
Yeah, well, I was going to say also, like, in most massively multiplayer games where they have, like, zones like that, they're kind of level-based. Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah,
they'll give a couple dark zones to lower people, and then, you know, you'll have like all the end game ones. But the point is like, it's not a big deal because get to the max level before you go in the dark zones. That's the whole point.
Find a group of people you like. Cause we've noticed like, if you're rolling with like even like two being like the minimum, but if you're rolling like three to four, nobody's going to fuck with you. Nobody's that stupid.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. If you're running
four people... Can you revive your other players?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so like you have to wipe out the whole team to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Are there different classes?
It's not necessarily a class, but you can build your character different ways.
Does everybody start with the same stuff?
Yeah, I think everybody, yeah.
You don't pick like...
Yeah, like, you can medic. Kind of make, like, a medic, but there's no, like, real medic class. You can lean towards, like, that stuff. Like, you can...
Can you re-spec your guy?
I believe so. A lot of the stuff is closed off in the beta.
Dude, that was one of the craziest parts of World of Warcraft when it first came out. You could respec...
Maybe you can't. I don't know.
First, I'm not even sure you could respec your guy, which is insane, because, like, the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours people put in. And then... they made it so that you could respec, but it cost like, it like went up exponentially. Mm-hmm. So like the first time it was like 1 gold, which was nothing. And then it went to like 100 and then it went to like 1,000. Like, and it just became like ridiculous. And like, think about it, like, you don't know what you're doing the first time. So like, it was like playing Dota. I was like so in the fucking forums because if you screwed up, you were so fucked,
yeah.
You know, which is dumb. And they dialed that back. But I do think that there should be some penalty to respecking, because I think people should, like, they made it, now it's like, you can literally be like, if I'm a druid, you could be like, hey, let's go do this raid, we need a healer, and I could just respec, and you could pick 2 specs, and that kind of cheapens it too,
yeah.
So I like the fact that you have to pick a
path
and kind of stick with
it. From what I've seen on the beta, you can adjust your abilities on the fly, so like, if 2 teammates or 3 teammates are using the same abilities, you can get them to change the best, yeah. Like, suit the group.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's cool.
But I guess when World of Warcraft, when they made it really easy to respec, I did miss the days where, like, you couldn't be all the things,
yeah.
You know? You had to pick the thing that you wanted to be, because there's something cool about that, you know? But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you also want to be able to change quickly if you want to do stuff with other people, so I don't know. I'm not into the hardcore stuff anymore, so any game that makes it a little bit easier is great with me. But again, anything that's like hardcore like that, like that's what you remember being like sweating, thinking about your next experience point, you know, your talent point, whatever they were called.
There was a time that, like, this game has really made my heart pump. There's been some moments in this game that's been just fucking nuts. Like, I don't know, I just haven't, like, I love my multiplayer shooters, but I just haven't had, like, that kind of experience with a group of guys, like a group of people I'm playing, like, over and over. Funny experiences, like, crazy experiences. And, I don't know, in a well-done game, like, the game is so solid, like, it just makes those moments even better. Like, if it was a shitty playing game and those moments happened, you'd be like, okay, it's alright because of the moments, but no, it's a well-made game. It's really, really well done. I think, and that's one of the best parts. Like, I cannot believe how good this game is.
Yeah, it's cool. What time are we at right now?
46.
47 minutes. All right, yeah, let me get into the witness so I can go fucking sit down and do nothing for an hour. I had something else to say, though, before that, but it's gone. Oh, Rocket League. They still haven't announced.
No, they haven't.
It's supposed to come out this month. I looked today.
They
actually said that they're going. This is funny because, so the first thing I worked on at work was an app for the Xbox 360, and I found the insane process that getting an Xbox app approved is. So when I saw today that they were in Xbox submission process, I was like, that's why they're not telling anyone when it's releasing, because you are at their mercy, man. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, you don't know what is going
on. I've seen a couple people, Xbox people tweet the game or tweet pictures of them playing it at home, though.
Yeah, I believe that I know they release apps on Tuesdays, but the games might be different. But anyway, I don't know. I'm sure as soon as they get approved, they'll release the next window that they can.
Yeah,
so hopefully
it'll
be
for it.
Next week or two. But yeah, I heard that they're in submission, so like they submitted it, and we'll see if it gets passed by Microsoft. So I'm looking forward to that. The Witness, I've played not a ton of, probably like 2 hours of it, which for me is a lot. It's fucking so good. Oh my God, it's so good. It's not at all what I expected, but it's everything that I hoped it would be, if that makes sense.
I watched a Twitch stream of it, and it looked like the game that I will never play.
Yeah, I think a Twitch stream, like, you know how I said I was thinking about Twitch streaming it? I think it's a horrible Twitch stream, because if you don't Twitch it from the first second of the game, then you can't know what's going on, because the whole value of the game is they teach you, it is a master class in how to I've talked about this on the podcast before. I hate how games these days, like, every game has a hand-holding tutorial where they teach you the buttons and they teach you the mechanics and all this shit. It dumps you in the world, no story, there's no loading, there's no like start menu.
Mm-hmm.
You start the game and you're in the world.
That's
it's
so
awesome.
Weird.
I think it's the coolest
cool.
thing. Yeah, it's really cool. So you walk out of this tunnel, spoilers, and you have no idea where you are. You're on this island, and you go, and the way that he, it's hard to explain. So like, it sounds like, so it's line puzzles the whole game. That sounds terrible, but it's almost impossible to explain the value of it. Like, he has these rows of screens. The coolest part is you can literally go anywhere, anytime you want. You could complete the hardest puzzle, basically. Like, there's a few gates, like Metroid style, where like you need to like complete a group of puzzles to get through that gate. But there's nothing that you like. There's no like gun that you need to do it. If you can figure out the puzzle, you could do the hardest puzzle in the first second of the game. It's just that you don't have the knowledge to do it, and it's impossible to figure. I mean, maybe some savant can, but like, he teaches you the rules of each game or each puzzle by these sets of screens, and you think you have it, and then you get to the next one, you're like, oh wait, that didn't work. I thought I knew this puzzle. And you go back and you study the previous ones, and then you're like, oh, I thought it was that you had to separate them, but it's actually that you have to cluster them, and each one builds on the previous one. So like, by the end of the game, it's like, I guarantee, because already it feels like you're learning a new language, and each puzzle challenges you a little bit further. But like, I've never in a game felt more brilliant and more stupid in like 100 times in 5 minutes than in that game. Like, you finish a puzzle, you're like, I'm so fucking smart. And then you like get to the next one. One of the things he does, he throws curveballs. So in my Zelda review, A Link Between Worlds, that was one of my favorite games of 2 years ago, or I think it was. Yeah. There's the DS version. Such a great game. And I talked about how the puzzles were so smart in that. And the reason that I love puzzles in games is because I love getting in the head of the person and being like, Limbo is a perfect example of this, where you're running through the level and all of a sudden you die. I love being like, I know what you're trying to do here. I'm not going to die and have to redo this part. I'm going to figure it out before you even show me the trap. And then I'm going to feel really smart. Like, that's one of the coolest parts of the puzzles to me. What he does in this game all the time, and I know he's doing it on purpose because he's fucking diabolical. He'll throw it, like, it's always like a ramp of curve of difficulty and harder. And then all of a sudden he'll throw in an easy one in a complex way where like, I'm already thinking like, I know he wants me to go up here because that's the obvious thing to do. So I'm going to go the other way. And then like, you spend like 30 minutes on it, and then you're like, motherfucker, it was the obvious thing, because he's trying to make you like, yeah, not try to like game the system. It's hard to explain, but his puzzles are fucking brilliant. And I know people hate him.
I don't understand
him.
How people create puzzles.
Dude, this game, I'm just sitting there, and all the time I'm just like, I could never do this. Like, I have a hard enough time, and I think I'm a good puzzle figure outer, but to create these puzzles, and that's the genius part, is like, they're all related in a way that builds on each other, where like, you're doing these crazy complex puzzles by the end, or the middle, where like, you couldn't have had any chance in the first second. So it's like, he's teaching you these different parts of this language that you learn throughout the game. And then the game's absolutely beautiful.
That was the one thing I picked up from the Twitch stream I watched. It's gorgeous.
It's like a 3D Ori in the Blind Forest almost. It's like, everything looks like hand painted. The walking around's fine. It lets you run, which is really nice. I love the exploration.
Do you, like,
I love
die
that you can go
anything?
To any
Do you, like,
area.
Fall off a cliff or anything?
No, you can't, which is great, because that would suck in this particular game. But there's like the mystery of the island. You do things like, sometimes you'll do something and like, this wall will fall down and this shit will go off in the sky. You're like, what the fuck was that? It's very like missed in that way. And I love, just from hearing reviews, and I've tried to stay spoiler free for the most part, but I love hearing that, you know, you can finish the game, but then there's like shitloads of puzzles left and people still don't know what they are. Like, there's like a whole underground possibly that people aren't sure. There's these doors that people haven't figured out the puzzles.
That's crazy.
So
there's stuff that people haven't figured out how to do.
It's very Metal Gear Solid 5, where like, the game ends, but it doesn't really end, except that, you know, it's hopefully pays off, unlike what I've heard about Metal Gear Solid. Like, I've heard, like, up to that point, Metal Gear Solid 5 is fucking amazing, and then after that, it's like,
I didn't play Act 2, but I was okay with everything that happened, I think.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, they acted like, oh, the game's not over, and then everybody says, like, after that was not a good payoff.
That's
that.
Why
like,
I didn't
they
play
just
that's
ended
why
the game.
Like, I never went back and played it.
Yeah.
Also, because I didn't know it was going to be there. I thought, I had seen those trailers or parts of that game, but I thought it was Act 1. I didn't know there was an Act 2. And then when it was like Act 2, I was like, I think I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is the smart decision, because everybody says it. That it sucked, but it just
wasn't
great.
And you know what?
Great.
If I ever want to go back to it, I have something to play.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know that I'll ever 100% the games. I think that's probably insane with a notebook and a pen.
Dude, I've
it's stressful
Patrick
though, man.
Patrick Klepek was showing his pictures. He has like this huge notebook of him trying to figure shit out. Like it seems nuts.
Dude, it's insane and it's old school puzzle solving. Like it does not hold your hand in any way. And it's so brilliant though. Like these line puzzles, everything's a line puzzle, but they have different rules and different sets of like things you have to do. And also like the cool part is it's not just like individual line. Like it wouldn't work as a puzzle game on a phone that was just the puzzles, because a lot of the puzzles integrate with the environment in really interesting ways. Yeah. So like this will be the only spoiler that I give, because it's very early in the game. There's these puzzles. You're just doing normal line puzzles. And then you get to this one where you have two starting points and two ending points. And the previous puzzle is you just have to get them there. And, you know, there's blockers that aren't connected. So you just have to find, it's like a maze basically. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the next one and you're like, okay, well, there's no blockers here. I can just go straight across the middle. And you fail. And you're like, what the fuck? Then you realize there's a rock formation in the background that you have to trace the lines around the rock formation. And it's just so, as soon as I figured that out, I was like, that is so fucking cool.
Fucking smart.
So you know what I'm saying? So like, and then you follow these power cables. I love games where like they dump you in a world and you have no idea what's going on, where it is, what time it is, what year it is. You know, they have these power cables that go between the different panels is what they call them. Well, what everybody calls them. They don't call them anything. And like you have to like get the power on of the next one so that you can even do the puzzle. So you end up like following these cool green or yellow or purple power cables to a different puzzle. And it's just, I don't know. It's super stressful at times, but it's super rewarding as well.
I'll never play it, but I'm happy that you're enjoying it.
You would not like it, I don't think. But it's really cool. And again, I wish it was more twitchable, but it's really just not. Yeah. Like no one wants to watch me sit there and try the same puzzle 100 times, because you can't really talk it out. It's all in your head. Like you can't. It's not like a mystery where it's like, well, this guy might have done it in the kitchen with a candlestick. I have to figure out how to get this fucking path through this thing. But God, it's so good.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
There's definitely going to be.
I know you were looking
forward to
this shit.
Definitely highlight moments. Yeah, I was worried because you never know when a guy has a first great game, and then he, like, first of all, he made it with a team. Let's start there. He took all of his money from Bray that he made and funded this game, but it's like it's a completely different game. Like it's puzzle based, but one's a platformer and one's like a line puzzles with walking around. Like they are completely different games, and not everyone can catch magic twice.
Speaking of his money, have you been following him at all? Do you follow him on Twitter?
I'm never on Twitter.
Right, so late last week, he was bitching that people were pirating his game. And he's like, if you guys want more games from me, you have to stop pirating. And then today or yesterday, he tweets out that The Witness has sold more than Braid has ever sold.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, I will say, that was a tweet. In his defense, there was no doubt.
I know, but don't send one. Don't send the second one out.
Yeah, but in his defense, there was no doubt that this game was going to outsell Braid by a fucking zillion. Like,
yeah, it's going to
be on Xbox 3. It was also on Xbox 360, where like indie games weren't a thing. Like like Braid basically invented the console indie market. This game was highly publicized, and and he's not wrong about people shouldn't pirate his game, but it's like he must be socially an idiot, because all you're doing by saying that is just going to make more people pirate the game. Like you're not, there's nothing to be like, what do you think that there's pirates? Pirates, they're the biggest, those kids are seeing that and like laughing their ass off. They don't give a shit about your tweet. Yeah. They don't give a shit about your next game, you know?
And then a couple of days later, come out with a tweet pretty much thanking people for buying your game, making it his most successful game. It's like, which one is it, man? Yeah. Are people ruining your career by pirating game, or are they making you more successful than you already were?
Yeah, well,
like, I understand you're losing out,
but I think in his defense it can be both, because he's yelling at the pirates and he's thanking the people who bought the game.
Yeah,
you know, they're two different groups of people. But I agree, it's just stupid to tweet that out. Like, you're just asking for people to be pissed at you, not pissed at you, but like, you just come off like an asshole. It's like everybody gets their games pirated, and it sucks. I don't think it should happen. I think it's awful, especially for an indie developer. I think that pirating indie games is such a shitty thing to do.
I don't think it was Polygon. It was somebody that, whatever, I saw their initial article about how he was complaining that people are pirating a game. It was like almost making it look like it was his fault for not making a separate edition of it for the pirates to like bite on.
Yeah, there was.
I don't remember who Paul said.
Anytime there's two copies of his game.
Anytime there's an article
about pirating stuff, it's so hilarious, the comments. It's like people just defending pirating, and it's just like, listen, if you're gonna pirate, just shut the fuck up about it. Like, there's no, you're stealing. That's what you're doing. You're walking into the convenience store, you're taking the 12-pack, and you're walking out without paying. Like, there's no way to defend it. Like, again, like, whatever. If you're gonna do it, but. You know, I've stolen shit plenty of times before. I try not to do it these days, but don't defend it. Like, the people will be like, well, you know,
it's like, well, I can't,
I wasn't going to buy it any, or I wasn't going to buy it anyway. So it's not really a loss in sales. It's like, what? Yeah. I wasn't going to buy that Ferrari. So I guess it's not a loss in sale. And I take the motherfucker. I mean, it's a bad example because you don't lose out and suffer, but you know what I'm saying? It's just stupid.
Recently, somebody said something about, they were talking about similar, it wasn't about the Jonathan Blow thing, but they were talking about like, online pirates, and like, no matter what they do, they're always gonna have a justification and a reason why they do it. Like, they're not gonna change.
That's what's so funny about them, is it's like, you can't just steal the thing and shut up. You have to actually like talk about why you stole the thing. It's like, you stole it because you're cheap.
Yeah.
that's why you stole it. You know, like, if you come out and you say like, well, I stole this $500 program because I just wanted to use it twice and I'm not a professional whatever, it's like, okay, I it's still not right, but like, there's some sort of logic to that, I guess. But when you say, like, you stole something that's less than $100 because reasons, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Or maybe you shouldn't have it because you can't afford it. That's, you know, and of course they can't afford it. That's not the problem at all. They just don't want to.
I love video games. They're the thing I do, but I also recognize that they're a luxury. They're a luxury item. Right.
And the witness is going to be $20 in like 6 months at the most. Wait and buy it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're in a digital revolution. There's always going to be sales.
Yeah. Did you want to hit anything else before we get out of here? Because we actually covered an hour of time.
Two things I just wanted to say real quick. I finished Oxenfree. I was real hot.
Yeah, how was it?
I was real high on that game in the start. It kind of lost me towards the end. It just got too weird. I didn't really understand what was going on. And also, one of my favorite games from last year that I didn't play enough of because I didn't have people on PS4 that had it. Helldivers is PlayStation's February game of the month.
Free. Was it PlayStation's?
Yeah, PlayStation.
What was the Xbox game that used to be on PlayStation? Am I making that up? Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I thought I saw there was an Xbox game that used to be a PlayStation game. Anyway, yeah, but Helldivers was cool. I liked that game.
It was cool. So if there's PS4 people that listen to this, download it if you want to play it. Let me know, because I never really got to play it as much as that as I wanted to. Because you need people. You can play a little bit of it single player, but you need a team. So yeah. Download that.
I remember playing it with Jeff and having him kill me like 16 times.
Yeah, he was good at that.
It is pretty funny when you kill each other in that game, mm-hmm. though, because it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, that
it's
game,
like Battletoads. It's like there's only so much you could do to not kill your
team. And that's what I liked about that game. That game was pretty hardcore.
It was funny. It was like, you know, it's not like anybody was trying to kill each other. No, it happens.
It was tough to do.
Yeah. Now that's actually a really cool game. You know what it is? It's like Gauntlet Legends meets sci-fi meets what's the corny. Getting the back of the line like everybody else. Starship Troopers. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you download? I'm sure you did the Gauntlet Legends PS4 game. Was that last month or the month before?
Yeah.
I'd like to play that.
Yeah, we should try sometime.
We never will, but it sounds good.
Because fucking Rocket League, man. We're never going to turn on our PS4s and do anything else with them.
It'll be on Xbox soon.
I know. So does that mean our PS4s are dead to us?
I don't know. I like it on PS4. I mean, I'll probably play it on Xbox just because Jay and Chad have it, but.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think the PS4 controller is perfect for that game.
Yeah.
I actually really like it. Also, I'm a little bit worried that the netcode is going to suck on Xbox.
Think so?
Not because, well, just because they haven't made a game for Xbox.
Yeah, okay.
So, hopefully it's great.
I feel like if they can get the netcode down for PS4, then they'll be fine on Xbox.
Probably. But you know how it is. Yeah. Like, they're probably rushing it for Xbox. That's my worry. But with Xbox, the one thing that I'm... the one thing that I'm actually looking forward to is that you don't play with Steam players. I just always wonder, is Steam players, are they cheating? I don't like the fact that they can use ridiculous names. I don't want to play with PC players when I'm playing a console game. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it's really cool that you can have cross-platform and stuff. But I want to know that when I'm playing a game that we're both on the even play field. Like, if I'm playing on Steam, I want to play Steam players. When I'm playing a console, I want to play console players.
PS4, gamers.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think it's like, it's just fair. Because when you're using a mouse and a keyboard or a controller, I don't even know which one's better. I'm not saying they have an advantage. I'm just saying I like to know that I lost because the guy's better than me. I don't ever want to think that they're cheating or that they have a better input or whatever.
Oh, and I also wanted to give out a shout out to, I don't know how to even say his name, but Nakato-san on Twitter for explaining to us how he uses Vaseline with his kids, which was...
I assume that was a chick, but I only saw it quickly.
I don't know. Their avatar has... Mohawk, but I guess that's kind of a sexist thing for me to say, because...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's anime character, isn't it?
I don't know.
Aren't they super, like, you know, like one sex most of the time?
I have no idea. Whatever.
Anyway.
But thank you for explaining to us how Vaseline is used on small children.
Yeah, that's good. We needed that info.
Yeah, now I don't have to Google Vaseline small children. I'm good.
What's funny about that is that I don't think we've ever heard from them before.
No, I think they're new listeners.
That was the first contact, so...
Thank you.
It's probably somebody that I work with and I realize it.
Might be.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
We did it. I need a beer badly.
A glass of wine.
So, apebourbon@gmail.com, apebourbon.com, apebourbon Twitter, Twitch on apebourbon. Dustin's been twitching a lot of stuff. Adam says he's going to, but he never does.
Dustin started Final Fantasy X, which is...
Yes, that's right. Yeah. One of my favorite games ever.
It's just really funny to watch.
Get in there. I don't know. You know where we are. And I think that's about it, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Andy.
I'm Adam.
We're Ape of Bourbon. We're bound to wait all night. She's bound to run a mile. Invested in nothing at anyhow. The garden sorted out. She curls her lips on a bow. I don't know if I'm dead or not. Cause
your God.